There's butt humor, and it's funny. There's so much butt humor.
Hey everybody, this is Ash from the Rated NA Podcast here with an exclusive interview recorded live at San Diego Comic-Con 2018. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes and give us a follow on Twitter at NerdAppropriate.
I'm just going to start rolling and we can start talking.
All right, sounds good.
Welcome back!
I'm so happy to be back. Yeah. I'm glad that this worked out.
Me too. It's really
from
exciting.
Orlando to California.
I know. Last time you and I talked, we were in a library being kind of shuffled around the Orlando Public Library. So welcome back, Markia.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me back.
Yeah. It's super exciting. How's your show been so far?
The con has been very great. I mean, there's something about it this year that it's a different vibe than how it's been. Maybe, if possible, a little less commercialized, a little bit more convention, like you get with Long Beach Comic Con, for
instance.
Right. I don't know what it is, but I've really enjoyed this
year.
It
does feel different. And we talked about it earlier. We recorded an episode from here and we were trying to figure out what it was because we've been coming for a long time. Maybe the activations are different, but it was weird. There were I walked right into Hall H at one point.
Yeah.
Just kind of strolled right in. And I was like, what's going on?
It was the easiest that it's been in my memory of being press at Comic-Con. It was pretty nicely streamlined, except for Ballroom 20. I don't understand why they won't do a separate press line for that.
Oh, yeah.
I had to miss the Cloak and Dagger
panel.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I missed that panel, too, but I did get into the roundtables for that, so I got
excellent
to talk to them. So we'll talk about that. There's some cool Cloak and Dagger stuff that I can't wait to gush about with you. So I'm loving that show. So
I seriously love that show.
Last time you were on, I feel like... you know, obviously, I'm a huge fan of Marvel Movie News. You guys do great stuff on there. It's one of my, I listen to your show every week. But then since you were last on, holy shit, you have done a billion things. I can't even keep up with the number of things you've done. I think it was Christmas break or something, right? It was
wintery. Yeah, I think it was November.
Okay.
I think that's when I got to go home.
Okay, so
yeah.
November, and now it's July. And since then, I think you've been on every thing on the entire internet. So can you tell me just a little bit about kind of what happened there, which is super cool, super happy for you, and all the things you've been up to, because it's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I guess the thing that really helped the most was that I finally got rid of my 9-to-5 job. Well, the universe took care of that for me.
Yeah.
Having that space, making that space in my life.
I thought you were
going to
say the thing that really was coming on our podcast. I went on the Nerd Appropriate podcast and everything changed for me. Yeah. No, continue. I'm sorry.
Well, no, obviously it was your podcast. Yeah. So, making that space in my life and then putting a mindset of, I'm just going to do what I love and things will have to work out because that's the way that it has to be. And then when I had that mindset and just continued forward and I let the people in my community know, hey, these are the things that I'm interested in. Here's the stuff that I've done. Here's the stuff that I can do. Then they were like, oh, of course. Let's have you on this.
That's
awesome. Let's have you on that. And then that's how I became a steady part of Hyper RPG, and I do a tabletop RPG. And that's how Nerdist has had me in for so many things. And
so crazy.
Ended up being flown out to Hawaii to interview the cast of Jurassic World.
I was insanely jealous. You're like, I'm in Hawaii interviewing. I'm like, what? I was like, how does one do that?
That's we had a luau on a private island.
Oh, my God.
It was
it's so crazy.
Man, I mean, so that, and I'm embracing my love of gaming. So I'm going to be starting my own Twitch channel. And it feels so great to have done all of these things. And it feels even better to know what I'm going to be doing in the next few months.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. And I'm so happy for you because it's very well deserved. And, all these great things. It's cool to see you doing what you love. And you said something that really resonates with me. It's I was a teacher for a while. And I still have friends that are teachers. And slowly everyone is kind of quitting and pursuing teaching is a really noble profession.
Of
and
course.
It's great.
I have a lot of teachers in my family.
But it's also brutally difficult sometimes. So
slowly
a lot of my teacher friends are kind of quitting and going after their passion, So it's interesting. And I always encourage people to kind of go after what they really love. And if it's meant to be, it'll sort of happen. So that's really cool.
I used to spend a lot of time doing nonprofits and theaters. That was what I did. And then all of my nerd activities were, my passion on the side kind of a thing. So having to flip that, it's just made a really big life change.
Yeah.
So it's tragic that teachers aren't paid more in this world.
No, it is.
Because they're the ones that teach us.
Yeah, my wife is still a second grade teacher. She's been doing it for, I think, 12 years now. So it's like she loves it. But at the same time, it's like, man, she comes home and she's just thrashed every day. And now I work in video games. So I'm like, today I had to tweet some stuff. And I feel so bad because it's like I'm in my pajamas half of my life.
But I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty okay. So we're at Comic-Con. It's actually the last day for our listeners. You're getting ready to check out and head out of here pretty soon. I leave in the morning. What are some of the cool things that you've seen and done since you've been here, work-wise and fun-wise?
Yeah, well, a number of things. Well, obviously, I live interviewed Paul Bettany at the Nerdist House.
I saw that.
I did that Friday.
So cool.
He is a delight. I know that I think I use that term a lot, but he really is a delight. Chaucer from A Knight's Tale.
I know.
Also his vision. So incredible.
So good.
But yeah, he talked about his family and that interview's gonna be on Alpha. So
cool.
I mean there's that. I really enjoyed that. I love the Nerdist House space. That was cool. I saw the Marvel Games panel.
Oh good.
And the PS4 exclusive, the Spider-Man exclusive. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, maybe I do need another PS4.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, my God. I think I'm just going to do an Amazon wish list or something and see if the universe is
everything in the games panel looked really cool. So
it was. I don't necessarily agree with it being that it needed to have been in Hall H.
Yeah.
Which was the first time it was, you know. Ever, but it was an extremely good panel for what it was.
Oh, awesome.
No Avengers announcement, but...
I know. It was so weird this year. I feel like there could have been some Captain Marvel stuff, some Avengers stuff. I don't know. I mean, you might know better than I, but kind of what happened behind the scenes for them to just decide really not to bring their big guns this year.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to have to check some sources on that myself.
I don't know.
Because I was extremely disappointed. I did E3 for the Spider-Man game and then, of course, everything else.
Yeah.
And then specifically did that panel because I'm like, oh, I know it's coming.
Yeah.
So maybe they're still having to tweak things. My gut feeling is like maybe we'll get that at the beginning of Phase 4.
Yeah.
Like something to drive that forward, a little bit of extra seasoning into that pot.
Yeah. I mean, I think you guys even said it on Marvel Movie News. There might be some ink drying with the Fox deal. They might want to tweak things out and bring in Fantastic Four and shock everyone or bring in a new version of the X-Men. And I would love, obviously, to see any of that stuff. So we'll see. So what else? Yeah. So you saw the
Deadpool 2 panel.
How was that?
It was hilarious. Ryan Reynolds was there.
Oh.
Yeah. Super fun. And then the extended footage for Deadpool. Yeah.
Get the
super duper cut.
Yeah.
Because it's just it's a lot of jokes that they left on the cutting room floor and the blooper reel and then the deleted scene that they showed. Yeah.
Was Coy from your show here?
I don't think he made that panel, but yes, he was
so
here.
He's going to freak out when you...
yeah,
you were there and I wasn't there. Oh, my God. I can hear it right now. Him, his overly enthusiastic about Deadpool most of the time. In a good way.
Yes, absolutely.
Very cool.
But and I spent some time with Skybound, Brown Girls Gaming. So, I mean... this has been a really...
That's great. And you were on a couple panels, right?
Yeah, I was
That's
on
like
a...
That's like a bucket list. I've been coming to Comic-Con since 2001.
Yeah.
And my bucket list is to one day be on a panel. I don't know why it's a bucket list, but I'm like, one day I'm gonna make it happen somehow. So congratulations for being on panels. That's super cool.
Thank
did
you.
Did you save your little name tag?
I did.
You better
I did.
Save it.
Yeah, it's in my room with some of the artwork that I got from Artist
sucker,
Alley.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, and claim it. Just claim it. You got this.
Yeah.
I was on the Most Dangerous Women of Comic-Con panel.
With Katrina.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I actually covered that panel like 4 or 5 years ago when I was first starting this site. I went to that panel, I think, 2 years in a row. It's a fantastic panel. It's really, really well done.
Yeah. Oh, it was so satisfying. It was like cathartic, fulfilling. We wanted to keep the conversation going. Afterwards, I was in the bathroom afterwards, and some women that were in the audience were like, oh, by the way, this. And I was like, yes, and this.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's great.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's cool. Congratulations on that panel too.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm trying to think if there's any big Marvel stuff. So I went. Did you get a chance to go to the Iron Fist panel at all? Were you in that one?
No, I didn't get a chance.
I have
good
news. I'm like the Iron Fist apologist because I see like light at the end of the tunnel with Iron Fist. But I sat through the panel. And they showed, I think, 3 or 4 fight scenes, and they were fantastic.
Excellent.
Like mind-blowingly fantastic. They hired the fight choreographer from Black Panther. So all the fight choreography was, like, brand new, looked super sharp, looked great.
Good.
And I believe the director of the new pilot directed a few episodes of Into the Badlands, so he's all about, really great kung fu and just...
I love that they took the note.
Yeah, they definitely took the note.
You saying that does remind me, though. Another cool moment of Comic-Con, danced with Finn Jones.
Did you really?
I did.
That's
amazing. At the Legendary Party. I was dancing with Erica Ishii and Taliesin, and then this dude like popped into our dance circle. We were like, "All right, wow, he's really going for it." And then
Iron Fist.
Yeah, and then I was like, "Oh my god, that's Finn Jones."
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, actually, Taliesin said to me, "That's Finn Jones." I'm like, "No, it's not."
That's so cool.
He's like, "No, look." I'm like, "I'm not going to because it's not."
That's why Comic-Con's like so ridiculous. Like I went up the escalator the other day. Up to kind of the press rooms in Indigo, and I was just kind of like walking around, and I bumped into this dude, and I looked at the guy, and I'm like, "Wow, that's a really handsome man," and it was Jude Law. and I texted my wife, I'm like, "I literally just bumped into Jude Law," and I'm like, "Handsome confirmed." He's just a handsome dude. Like, and it turns out I was just like standing around the entire cast of Fantastic Beasts, who are all just like upstairs eating snacks, and like Comic-Con's weird.
Yeah,
like, it's just weird because you know like.
Because we're on ours. We're all one tribe.
Right.
We're all here at the same time
for the same
crazy weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, I had, dinner with the Critical Role people where we also, you know, I went to a number of, in memory of John Schnepp's this weekend. So that was one of them, that dinner, and a couple of toasts last night.
That's so sad.
And everything.
That's
a sad story, yeah. I mean, he's king of the sweaties, you know, big time. And the world is a little bit darker for not having him in it, but also inspired as heck to continue with what I'm doing and the all of the advice that he gave me moving forward, because he is an incredibly passionate nerd that's also that awesome amount of IDGA.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like I am going to emulate that moving forward. But but nerd stuff, like, yeah, ran into Louis Tan at like Wired Cafe, and he's a really chill, awesome dude. You know, have been able to interview him before, and I got to talk with Paul Bettany a little bit because Marvel has there's like, "We got to go. We got to do this." It's extremely like to a science.
Yeah.
There's
absolutely.
An art and there's a science to that time schedule.
I interviewed Milana Weintraub this year, who's Squirrel Girl, and I had interviewed her a couple times in the past, and this year getting her in a room, she was like all for it. She's like, "Yeah, let's do it." I had to go through handlers, I had to go like, you know, get the special key to go up to the special room, and I'm just like, "Oh, it's changed." Like, last time I interviewed her was in a bowling alley here at Comic-Con like 2 years ago, and now she's like, "No, you gotta get through security and all that fun stuff." So it definitely changes. It's just interesting. Like, I think you're a lot like myself. Like, you just like genuinely love this stuff. So what is it like kind of cracking through to the next level where you're getting to interview these people, and what does it feel like to you just as a nerd finally getting to be in these spaces and get to talk to these people that you admire?
Well, I like the human being aspect of it. The reason like I really got into interviews was because, you know, people sticking a microphone in my hand and being like, "Hey, go talk to that person," because you know what they're talking about.
Right.
I like the human being aspect of it because it's I'm talking to someone. I'm having a discussion, a conversation with someone who has an experience that I either won't have because of my life choices or one that I haven't had yet.
Right.
So it's like taking it from, you know, and just being genuinely curious and interested in what it is that they have to impart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are fascinating, each of us, you know, individually that we are. And it's just... Yeah, I kind of want to scratch that itch to be like, "So tell me,
yeah, yeah.
Tell me everything." So for me, it's just being able to have more of that. I mean, I've interviewed Oprah. That's
really?
Like, yeah, I did for A Wrinkle in Time.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that's my lock screen now, where it's like it's me and Oprah. Anybody listening, I'm showing.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
I mean, that's just got to be. So, I mean, did you? I know your parents are supportive of what you do, because we mentioned that last time that we spoke. But what was it like when you started doing these events and you're like, hey, Mom, I just talked to Oprah. Like, what was that like?
She was like, ah!
I know, right? Yeah, it's ridiculous.
She's like, send me all the pictures.
Yeah, every once in a while, it's funny. My parents have always been super supportive of all my, crazy shenanigans with the podcast and everything. And my mom's always scheming, like, you got to get T-shirts and stickers. And, like, I'm just like, I don't know. I just talk to people and put it on the web. I'm terrible at marketing. But, it's very interesting. Like, every once in a while you hit these milestones, and when your family's supportive, it just makes it all, feel nice and warm and fuzzy. And it's cool that you're doing this stuff and that people are digging it so much.
Yeah.
So let's talk about stuff that's coming out in the near future. We can do like Marvel or just nerd stuff in general.
DC in general, because of Collider Heroes.
Yeah,
I'm more than just Marvel movies.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, I know some DC stuff too, so we can do that.
Yeah.
But let's talk about what's coming out and what we're excited about. So what's like really big on your radar for the next, like, say, 12 months? What are you
Aquaman.
Are you excited about Aquaman?
Yeah, of course. You're like Indiana Jones underneath the sea. I haven't had decent reception or have just been like running around. I have not seen the trailer yet.
Yeah.
I've had it described to me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it looks ridiculous. Like, I was more of a Marvel kid growing up. I did, dabble in DC stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Never a huge Aquaman fan. I never really met anyone who's like, I'm a huge Aquaman fan. They exist, but I just, it just wasn't my particular circle. Mm-hmm. But holy cow, this movie looks ridiculous and fantastic.
Yeah, and I hear they go classic suit with it, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Because that just makes me flash to Luke Cage season one.
Right.
Like that moment when he has, the tiara.
Yep.
The tiara and the bracelets. It's like, they did it. They did the thing, and that's all I needed.
yeah. I mean, that surprisingly, I am really excited about Aquaman.
Mm-hmm. DC, I feel like, is really going to knock it out of the park with things. I think Aquaman is going to be another step in the right direction that Wonder Woman set them onto.
Yeah.
I think Wonder Woman 1984 looks great. Apparently they showed footage during the panel.
I haven't yet.
Yeah, it was described to me though.
Yeah.
I was
Chris
like, okay.
Pine coming back. Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's a mummy or something.
We'll see. Or he's a god in disguise.
I don't know.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
Apparently they wouldn't discuss why he was there, because they said it was integral to the plot. So like, all right, no problem. So
I mean, he was so fantastic in the first film, so it's like I thought he was great.
Yeah, I like that it could be like, hey, this is what a romantic co-lead can be like.
Right.
Like this fully fleshed out individual like that. Yeah. And the humor was very nice.
I agree.
But yeah, other exciting stuff. Well, obviously, Spider-Man PS4 is coming out September 7th.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that. Got to play that at E3.
Oh, did you?
Yes. They get it right.
Yeah.
They get it completely right.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. That's going to be a life sucker for me. And I'm looking forward to it.
I want to get a PS4 Pro just for that game, because I have a regular, a first gen PS4, and it's fine, but it's like, oh, that game just to the max is kind of what I want to play it,
Yeah. And then
4K ultra, just insane.
And then Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I'm looking forward to that coming out. Got to play that at E3 also. And I know they have a huge activation here. I'm going to try to, get into that. Apparently it closes at 10.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah.
Squeeze in before you got to take off.
Yeah. But I'm not eating a bug. There's, this
is that
whole
one
thing.
Of the things?
That's one of the things. Like, you spin a wheel and like you have a possibility of, say, winning the game.
Okay.
Or going bankrupt, getting nothing.
Or
having
bugs.
To eat a bug.
Oh.
And there's T-shirts in there somewhere, in
t-shirts,
that medium area.
Bugs. Free games.
Yeah. But you said you did the Cloak and Dagger.
I did the round tables for Cloak and Dagger, and talked to the cast, and holy cow, like, I fell in love with those kids, because I feel like the source material is it's very dark, and it handles some really heavy issues.
Mm.
And it kind of exists in our our real dark timeline that we're existing in right now.
Yeah. I don't know if we're in the right timeline.
No, I don't
jury's out on that one for me.
I think very much so that we're in one of the darkest timelines. So, you know, the show exists in that dark timeline, and I think the actors handle it brilliantly. Like, there's a certain, you know, sorrow in their performance that you can kind of see coming out, but they still make the show enjoyable where it could just be depressing all the time, because you kind of want to see them overcome evil and such. And I think what I love talking about them is the actors were just so articulate and so sharp, and they were just on it. And you could also tell that they had a lot of love for each other. Like, they were just really, really supportive of each other's performances and of the characters. And talked to one of the showrunners as well. And he was talking about, sort of off the record, he was talking about, I'm going to put it on the podcast because I don't care, talking about how he would like to see Cloak and Dagger crossover with, you know, other Marvel titles.
Oh, definitely Runaways.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's how Runaways. I got into Cloak and Dagger in the first place, because they were part of Runaways.
Me too, absolutely. Yeah. And there was, I don't know if you saw the latest episode, episode 8, but I'll spoil something for you.
Oh, no,
spoiler.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm going to watch it no matter what.
The detective character, her name's escaping me right now, but she mentions her friend Misty Knight in New York.
I did see part of this episode. Yeah. Like, I was able to see, like, the first half, and then I had to go do something.
Right.
But, yeah.
Misty Knight Easter egg. And I'm just like, oh, like, I would just love to see them show up in, like, a Luke Cage or, like, I know they're not going to be in this season of Iron Fist, but just in the future. I know it's hard because of all the rights issues, different channels, and I know Netflix is kind of guarded about who they let cross over to their shows. But anyway, it was great. I was not expecting to like Cloak and Dagger as much as I do, but now I'm just really into it. It's just its own little pocket, but at the same time, it feels very Marvel. I think they did a great job with it.
So. I think they did a fantastic job. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, there was, one stumbling block for, like, Marvel TV,
right,
where it was, we know what it is.
Yeah.
But otherwise than that, it's like they really do have it down where it's like we love that cross genre, like that hybrid genre where it's not just a this type of show.
Right.
It's a little bit of everything else. And like you were saying, you know, dealing with social issues, racial issues, having New Orleans being a character, you know, in Cloak and Dagger. And then just everything with, like, going on with the family and culture. I'm a really big fan of what they're doing. That and the color palette that they're using for it, it really sets the tone.
Yeah.
And along with those actors, I mean, it's just Marvel's
they're
doing
good.
A lot of
they're
stuff
really
right.
Good.
It's like that Marvel TV is almost on par with a DC animated, for me.
Yeah, it's definitely getting there. And two little quick tidbits that I thought were interesting just from talking with them. They didn't actually cast Cloak and Dagger, Olivia, and I can't remember his name, I apologize, but they didn't cast them until 2 days before they started filming. So they were, like, down to the wire, and they came and did a read together, and they just knocked it out of the park, and they just decided right then. And then once they hired them, they flew to New Orleans to start shooting, and Hurricane Harvey? One of the hurricanes that I lived through, because I live in Orlando, hit right as they started filming. So they had the whole cast had to endure this hurricane together in New Orleans and kind of bonded through that hurricane.
Yeah, that's some bonding.
Which is pretty crazy. Yeah, it's never fun. But you're used to them because you're from the Central Florida area.
I am always worried about my parents when I hear another one coming in. Yeah. They're always like, stop.
Yeah, we've
past been here.
The last one, it was pretty wild. This is just a side story, so why not? I was at home. My baby was, like, I don't know, 6 months old at the time. And we, for some reason, were like, we're just going to sit this one out in Orlando. Like, there's nothing, nothing can go wrong. We've been through so many of these. I'm in the back of my house. My wife's, like, staying with the baby in the bedroom. A massive tree just blasts into the room that I'm in.
Oh, no.
But my house was built in the 50s, so it has a bomb shelter. So what happened is the tree fell and bounced off the bomb shelter because it was an above-ground one.
Okay.
And then just kind of ricocheted and hit the house, but totally landed on the room I was in. Didn't blow out the glass or anything like that, but we had a tree on our house for, like, weeks. We were without power for, I think, 10 days.
Oh, goodness.
No internet for 14 That,
yikes.
That was rough.
No.
Yeah, no internet is like, you know, as a nerd, it's like, man, what do you do? I just drove to Starbucks just to check my email. Yeah,
you should go into the Orlando library.
Yeah, I should have. Next time I'll do that. But that was an experience. And that was the same hurricane that they had to endure with Cloak and Dagger. So I wanted to share hurricane stories with them. But, you know, you don't have much time with those things.
Yeah, so you get like 4 minutes.
What else? Big stuff coming up. I saw... I was at the panel for Marvel Rising, which is the new animated series.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
I saw the trailer for that.
It looks really good.
It looks really good.
It's really cool. It's got a cool cast.
I really enjoyed, Monkey Joe and Spider-Gwen.
Yes.
Yeah, I keep on wanting to say Tippy Toe because my heart never lets go.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, Monkey Joe. And it's just like, yeah, that would happen.
That would.
I enjoy that.
I love that, yeah. Chewing the webs.
Yes.
It was really good. The cast, again, just had a really great dynamic, and I feel like that show is going to be good for, like, my kid who's two and me who's who's older. Like, I just love the characters, and there were some really laugh-out-loud moments. So I think that it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of poked a little bit to find out, like, what's going on with the live-action New Warriors. And there's no info right now.
Yeah, I think with that, there are probably just some. And I have a friend on the cast of that. Oh, God, I forget. The character name is escaping me right now because my brain is fried.
Yeah, yeah.
But her name is Kim,
okay.
And she's awesome. And I don't really have anything to report on what is going on with anything. I don't. But my gut reaction is that they're probably trying to figure out where this will fit in the mold of everything else that they're doing.
Right.
You know, so that might be something that we'll just get later on, you know, when it's, you know, closer to Phase 4 time type of a deal. But what was I was just thinking of something. Oh, no.
It'll come back to you.
Yeah, it was such a good segue. Okay, whatever.
That's how it always works.
Yeah.
So you guys,
Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that.
Did you?
It's fantastic.
Oh, is it really?
It's fantastic.
I was just watching Teen Titans in my room with my kid before I came here. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
And that's what reminded me when you said that you were looking for something like Marvel Rising where it's good for you and your two-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
Teen Titans Go is it.
It's super funny. Like, even just watching it, because I used to watch the old Teen Titans cartoon quite a bit. And Teen Titans Go is just great. And, like, I just started noticing how ridiculous. I feel like a lot of it's inspired by, like, Ren and Stimpy and SpongeBob at this point, because they'll do these, like, ridiculous tight zooms on, like, Robin's butt for, like, 10 seconds.
There's butt humor, and it's funny.
So much butt humor.
There's so much butt humor.
I'm basically mentally 12 years old, so anytime that happens, I would just snicker to myself. And my kid's the same way. He, like, sees butts and just starts laughing. So it's perfect for people that are juvenile like myself.
Yeah, but it's a really great movie, and I strongly recommend Taken.
So you saw that? Did you saw it here?
I saw it just before coming here. Yeah,
cool.
Because I'm working with Geeks of Color.
Okay.
So yeah, my friend Dorian is a founder or the co-founder of that, Dorian Parks. So yeah, so I went to do Teen Titans Go to the Movies at WB, and yeah, it's. There are so many cameos.
Really?
I can't even get into cameos, but it's like, it's ambitious, it's lighthearted, but hilariously intense at the same time. It deals with some good issues.
That's good.
You know, but then all the characters are still, you know, booyah.
Yeah. Love it.
I love that
Cyborg
movie.
He's great. That's such good stuff. I do want to, before we get out of here, your coverage of Luke Cage, on your show, Marvel Movie News, was fantastic, but I wanted to talk. I was like, I want to talk.
Oh, yeah.
Luke Cage season 2 was, I want to say, it might have been my favorite season of any of the Marvel Netflix. Like, I absolutely loved it. I really enjoyed season 1, but you guys said it on your show, too, the second half of the arc was a little bit weaker than the first.
Yeah.
But holy shit. Luke Cage season 2 was just fantastic from start to finish, and I'm like, I'm so eager to see... we'll spoil stuff, so we're gonna, if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert, Scott, if you want to put a little spoiler sound in here, thank you. So how it ends, like, Luke is in this sort of almost a dark place, like, you don't know where he's gonna go. I feel that's how I felt. I'm like is he a crime boss now? Has he crossed the line? I don't know. I just kind of wanted to get your kind of gut feeling on where Luke is.
Excellent. With this is another one of the things that I was only able to see part of it with, because I was also working at the time. So I had it on in the background to be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then had to work and then what's going on?
Right.
But with this, I will say with like season two, it is so amazing how much they like knocked it out of the park with like the focus of things. And I think with with that ending with Luke, I think it was just it was the natural end to this equation that they set up. Mm-hmm. When you are focusing in on the progression of Mariah and then like Shariah, Mariah and Shades, the progression of that where it's like, wow, she is such a villain.
She's such a villain.
And I love it. And I see why in this progression that happened. Mm. And then like with Bushmaster, where you have him start off as this, it'll be like, oh, okay, he's almost, I'm not going to say 2D villain like it was with Diamondback, but they kind of set it up for you like, oh, hey, prepare yourself because this is just this really bad guy. Mm-hmm. And then I believe his name's Mustafa Shakir. And then you see him become this fully fledged person.
Yeah.
It's, and then also with the parallels with like a Misty Knight, I mean, you see her depression, you see her struggle having to get back into the job. And then that scene between her and Colleen Wing,
so with,
I feel like the budding of Daughters of the Dragon right there.
Yeah.
It's like so in good. That bar, mm-hmm. and like Colleen taking a sip of beer instead of helping Misty Knight out, but in that way, helping her out.
Right.
It's like all of this, all of these characters, they are just, they're doing what we do in life, but they're doing it quicker because it's entertainment value.
Yeah.
So when you have Luke Cage starting off at the beginning, walking down the street, sunshine shining, people looking like, ooh, dang, you know, like you want to come in for coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then just because everybody else in this world is going through this progression, you have to take him from that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give him those layers. You have to give it that ambiguity, you know, at the end of like, wait, where is this going to go?
Right.
How am I supposed to feel right now about this?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, because I don't want Luke Cage sunshine shining, walking down the street by the end of this, because everybody else has gotten through so much. He must have a change.
Mm-hmm.
You have to respond to the world that's responding around you.
Wow. That was very, very well put. And I agree 110%. I really feel like they did such a fantastic job of creating believable relationships with all the characters in that show. The Colleen Misty scene was one of my favorites in the whole series, and I really did love what Misty was going through, and just, you know, seeing her regain her confidence and kind of regain her Misty powers was really great. And I really loved Luke's relationship with his father as well. I feel like they did a really just a wonderful job, because you don't know whether or not to trust his dad throughout the entire, you know, throughout the entire second season. And in the end, you just see like his dad made some terrible mistakes and now wants to kind of rectify them and be a better dad. And it was just really, really cool to see Luke in the end, you know, kind of respect and embrace his dad and kind of put the past behind him. I thought that was just very human and you know, just super well written, and the fight scenes were great, and like the violence was just like shocking at times. Some of the things that Mariah did,
the piranha tank
and like lighting the dude on fire, I was like, this is like, I grew up watching horror movies, but this made me super uncomfortable.
God,
it was bad.
and then him hexing her, she was like, you know, I'm gonna have to take a step back from this.
Yeah, like lighting people on fire is like a step in the wrong direction. So.
Yeah. Oh man.
This is great. So
It's fantastic. Anyone who hasn't seen it, I've been recommending it all con.
Yeah, me too.
I did it at the panel and everything.
A couple of my buddies that do the show with me, they kind of hit a little bit of the fatigue. They watched a few of the shows and just were like, okay, I'm going to take a break from these and maybe watch them later. But I'm like, guys, Luke Cage season two, like you'll be back in. It's fantastic. So really good stuff. If you, hopefully you've seen it, because I've spoiled it a lot, but if you have not, then definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, Markina, thank you so much. We're about out of time. Why don't you tell people like all the places you can be found?
Ooh.
Well, this will be another 10 minutes. But.
Well, on Twitter and Instagram, at Markeia McCarty, MarkeiaMccarty. You know, feel free to hit me up for new nerdy stuff. Let's just talk nerd stuff. I am right currently at the time of this podcast. I'm on Hyper RPG Mondays at 6 p.m. PT. I do 10 Candles. It's a tragic horror RPG where we will die our characters, our fully fleshed out characters, will. There's like 3 episodes in each volume. We're going up to volume 10. We're in volume 6 right now. We just finished Charlie Chimp, and now we are in... Oh my God, my brain is fried. Okay, yeah. Just check my Twitter.
Yeah.
So there's that. I do a variety of stuff for Nerdist, including interviews and press junkets for them. So you can check me out. Just put my name in at Nerdist. Also, Geek and Sundry, I do a lot of RPGs, like tabletop role-playing games. And I also I have co-hosted Game Engine, and that's Trish's and Erica's show. So yeah, check out that episode. Along with that, of course, Marvel Movie News Tuesdays, 2 p.m. PT. You can check that out on Popcorn Talk. This it's actually so is another stuff. 10 minutes. And then Geek of Color, I'm starting to do reviews for them. So I'm going to have some bylines coming through with them. Check out Geeks of Color on Twitter. And there's stuff that I'm missing, I'm sure. And I can't think of it
That's
right
super
now.
Cool.
Yeah, there's, well, yeah, no, just well, Twitter and Instagram is the best
thanks
places.
So much for hanging out with us the last day of Comic-Con. And next time you're in Orlando, you know, we'll be at the library hanging out again. So.
There you go.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thanks so much for listening to our San Diego Comic-Con coverage. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at NerdAppropriate, Facebook @NerdAppropriate, or email us directly, Matt, Scott, or Ash at NerdAppropriate.com. We're going to be at PAX West in September, and we'll be on a number of panels at the show, so keep listening for more information and more details leading up to the event. We hope to see you there.